It's wonderful to have Adam and Lisa Hill with us this morning and their kids, Joe and Clara. The Hills are members of our church here at Olivet, currently working in Germany in the Black Forest with Teach Beyond. And we have the pleasure of monthly supporting them. They're in Canada for a few weeks, and I'm so glad that they were able to be able to come and share with us today. So they'll tell you more about what's going on, but will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this family, for the work that they are doing. And Lord, as they are here, I just pray that the time would be refreshing, rejuvenating as they just take a break. Lord, would you just sort of give them amazing times together as a family and be ready to go back and minister to these kids. Lord, I pray for your protection over them as they travel, as they do all these different things, that you would watch over them physically and mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Guard their hearts, Lord, for all the arrows that may come and the stresses that may come their way, that they would keep their focus on you. Listen to your heart, Lord, knowing your wisdom in the midst of all the decisions and things that they daily have to do. Lord, pray for Joe and Clara and ask for your hand of blessing upon them as they continue to grow and they learn in another culture. Lord, may their roots grow down deep into you, that they would know you personally and just follow your path for their lives. I pray now that you would just anoint Adam and Lisa as they share with us. And Lord, as we listen to their message today, would you change us, that together we might be instruments of your grace in the context of our homes, schools, businesses, and Lord, in the cities in which you have placed us. In your precious and holy name, amen. So Adam and Lisa, come share with us.
Well, good morning. It is great to be here back in Canada for the summer. We just got to Vancouver from Calgary. Both sides of our family live in Calgary, so we're probably spending a little bit more of our time back in Calgary. But we took a road trip out to Vancouver, see a few friends, go to a wedding, and of course come to Olivet. So we're just thankful to be here. And first of all, I think we want to thank all of you for thinking of us, praying for us, financially supporting us. It is just so encouraging to know you're not alone in a far-off, distant country, even though Germany is a very civilized place. So, yes, we do live in Germany, and I'm going to just give a few little intro words, and we've got a couple of short little videos to show you, and then Lisa's going to come up and tell a few stories related to some of the more specific people at the school, some of the students that we work with. The school we work at is called Black Forest Academy, and that should give you a pretty good clue as to where it's located. We are in the Black Forest of Germany, really the southern tip of the Black Forest. You know, after church, if you look on a map, you can look at a map of Germany. We are located sort of where the countries of Germany, France, and Switzerland meet, that southwest corner of Germany. The closest big cities are a little bit to the south, about 15 minutes away, are Basel, Switzerland. And a little bit to the north is the city of Freiburg, Germany. Not huge cities, but big cities, big important Reformation cities, if you're a Reformation historian. And, of course, that was a big year last year, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. As a Reformation historian, it's an interesting place to live. So we are privileged to live in a very beautiful part of Europe. There's actually a lot of where we live that reminds us a little bit of B.C., interior B.C., sort of the Fraser Valley. It's mild winters, lots of rain, very lush. If you ever get a chance to travel through Germany, let us know, and we'll show you the sights. So we work at Black Forest Academy, which is a school that really goes from about 5th grade to 12th grade. We also have a little bit of a bilingual school in a partnership with a local German school that goes from grades 1 to 4. But the school we work at, Lisa and I are largely involved with the high school, which is from 9th grade to 12th grade. We have about, this past year, about 230 students in the high school. My primary responsibility is in the history department, teaching high school history. I'm the chair of the history department. And Lisa's primary responsibility is in the library. She is now the head of the library at the school. Those are our primary responsibilities, but really our life is the school. So it's hanging out with students, it's coaching students, it's acting as class sponsors. Lisa has a small group of girls that she works with. So it's sort of seven days a week, life at this school in this community. It's a very unique community. I think this past year we had 62 different countries represented in our student body. Either that was the country that they are from, that they hold a passport from, or countries where their parents are working in different types of missionary work in sort of this part of the world, North Africa, Eastern Europe, the Middle East. We do get some expat business kids in the area attending our school. So certainly we're trying to provide a low-cost high school education for missionary families who are working in that area with the intent of permitting their children to move back largely to North America and get into universities back home. We're going to show you a couple of videos. I should say something about Joe and Clara, too. Joe and Clara are, they just finished 9th grade, heading into 10th grade, like they're twins, if you didn't know that. They are about to turn 15, and like most 15-year-olds, they just absolutely love school. Mostly they do. So they enjoy their school experience, really, friends, sports, the simplicity of life in this little community. Everything's very convenient. They can walk to everything, and really this is their home. And in fact, the first video clip I want to show you is just about a 2.5-minute clip. Our communications department at our school does a pretty good job of putting together some little videos. I think Pastor Laura showed another video that we sent to her maybe a few months ago. So this is a shorter first video, and it's actually called Home. And there's no speaking. It's only video shots. And really, we wanted to just show it to you so that you could visualize where we live. So our communications department was quite excited this year to buy themselves a little drone. So they have a drone, and they've got a little camera on it, and this was their big chance to sort of get an aerial view of our little town. Our town is the town of Condern, and in this video, hopefully you'll be able to pick out a few common buildings that you see, and the common buildings that you see are our school, sort of a three-part structure. One building that you might see has a little bit of construction happening. That construction is complete. We eliminated one campus and moved it onto a single campus. So we finished, we added a floor onto one of our pre-existing buildings. Our school is actually built on an old underwear factory in Germany. So you can imagine high school students have some fun with that. If we're ready to go, this first video is just entitled Home, and just gives you a sense of where we live, and then I'll say a little bit more after that. All right. So that is our home. That's been our home for the past 4 years now. Lisa and I have been there, well, with the kids on and off a few other times in the past. So for a total, we've been connected with the school for about 8 years now. Little bit misleading. There's lots of snow in this video. We don't actually get that much snow, but I think it made for a better video. So Lisa's going to tell you some stories about the lives of our students, but you know the title of this video is Home, because that's exactly what we attempt to do, is to simply make our school a home, maybe a second home, in the lives of these students who have so many unique experiences, who have seen so many unique things, sometimes difficult things, whose parents are doing some really unique work, spreading the gospel, sharing the love of Christ. And Lisa and I see our job is to simply come alongside and nurture these students and to provide quality education to these students and to work alongside their parents, not to replace their parents, but to work in community with their parents. So it's a privilege to do that, and it does have a sense of being home for us and for our students. The second video that we want to show you actually will let you see some of these students and bring you down onto the ground, and you'll hear some of the voices of the students that we work with. And just in case you missed the question, I'm trying to remember the question that is mentioned here, but it's something like, if BFA, referring to Black Forest Academy, were a person, how would you describe it? So in other words, trying to get students to sort of share how they see the school, how they understand the school and what it means to them. So we'll play this video. This one is entitled Heart. And you'll get to see some of the faces of the students that we've been able to work with for the past few years. So we'll play this one. This is also about a 2-minute video, so enjoy. All right. So we had 66 graduates from our 12th grade class this year. So they're off out into the world, most of them coming back to North America, many different universities that they're off to. Two, I think, at least two, are actually off to Trinity Western University. So, you know, some might be in your midst here one of these days. Who knows? So these are some of the students that we get to work with. And so, you know, maybe over the next year or two, as you think about us, as you think about the school, as you pray for the school and these students, maybe these will just give you some visual reminders of this world that we're living in and working in, and that you are very much a part of. So I'm going to turn it over to Lisa, and she's going to come up and share some more personal stories of some of the students that we get to work with.
Good morning, everyone. As Adam already mentioned, we are delighted to be here again to speak to you, and we are so grateful for you as our church community. We definitely feel that support on a regular basis. We can't emphasize that enough, truly. Last time we visited Olivet, Adam actually wasn't with us, it was the kids and I shared with you a couple stories of kids that we worked with. And, excuse me, I would love to take the opportunity to do that again. I find that telling stories is the best way for me to communicate God's kindness in action in our lives, in the lives of our kids. And so, as I said last time I was with you 2 years ago, as I share these stories, which are ours, they're also your stories because you partner with us and you stand behind us. So here are our joint stories. I think it's important to tell these stories so that we can actually look back and see God's faithfulness. In the midst of it, I don't always see the progression of what's happening in our lives, in our kids' lives. But looking back and telling the whole story is a reminder and a testament to what he's doing. So, excuse me,
This year, I started a new small group. I have a co-leader, and we have a group of 5 girls. So that's a relatively small group for 2 leaders. My last small group was 8 girls, and I was the only leader. So this was a shift for me. These 5 girls are in the 11th grade, so next year they will be grade 12. 4 of them were new this year, and so that's a huge change for new students to come in their grade 11 year. It happens every year that we get new students in grade 11 and even grade 12, and for them at that late stage, it's especially tough to transition, to make new friends, and integrate themselves. So 4 out of 5 were new. 1, it was her second year back. Losing my place here. So it was a common theme in our small group this year with these girls how hard this transition was. It was a great thing to be able to come into a group that everyone's new. You don't have a single person in that group that you know, and within a short period of time, everyone felt comfortable enough to share honestly and openly. Usually that takes a lot more time than it did this year with our group. And so our weekly gatherings was a chance to speak openly, and we quickly gained a level of trust that I am so grateful for. I'll be with the same group next year, so it's a privilege to be able to carry on with that. As well, Joe and Clara are in small groups, and the way our small group program is that typically you will start with a group in your grade 9 year, if you're there in grade 9, and continue with them all through high school so that you have that consistency of friendship and trust. So out of my 5 girls, I would like to just share with you briefly about 2 girls. Becca came to BFA last year as a dorm student. She has grown up in the Middle East, and her parents live and work in Jerusalem with Arab people. Becca speaks Arabic and is closely connected with the Arab people and culture. She very much identifies with them. She has been homeschooled and has also attended a very small school. So her experience before coming to Black Forest Academy was quite different. Becca is an avid reader, and this was the first time that she had had a library to go to when she came to Black Forest Academy. So we have, in my opinion, as the librarian, a great library. But for those students who walk in the door and they love to read, it's so great to see the look on their faces and just to see the delight. And then when I heard that she had never had a library before, it was just so meaningful. She's there every day and has about 5 to 10 books out on the go at one time. I'm not sure how you do that with all your textbook reading as well. But all her life, Becca has felt that she, along with her family, has been on display. As a missionary kid, she has felt that everything she did, everything she said, and even everything she thought was scrutinized, and that any thought she expressed, which may just be contrary to expectations of how a missionary kid should think or talk, would almost compromise her family and compromise their position as missionaries in other people's minds. Thank you. I'll be with you in a moment. So this is, how does that make it worse? This is tough for kids of missionaries to feel like they're on display all the time. I'm sure pastors' kids feel the same way. So this is a common sensation, and especially for our kids at the school, many of them who are missionary children. And when they travel back to their home country, this is when they feel it the most, when they are in their hometown, and they do very much feel like they are on display. The ability to openly express themselves their thoughts and their truest doubts, especially about faith, is not always easy. A sense of loyalty even to their families keeps them from sometimes expressing what they truly think and believe. This past year, Becca has been comfortable enough to freely express herself, finally, without fear of disappointment from others. Through honest and open discussion in our group, she has found acceptance, love, and she's discovered that not only can she express herself, but she's not at all alone in her thoughts and in her doubts and the questions she has. And that has been a huge freedom that has opened up to her. It's enabled her not only to engage with God and others more openly, but to be able to engage with herself. So being among fellow missionary kids has given her that courage. One special moment for Becca this year was during our high school retreat in the spring. We had a speaker come to speak to our kids. He is a Coptic Christian from Egypt who does a lot of speaking now in the United States. So he spreads his time between Egypt and the United States. For Becca, this was a profound experience because it was actually the first time she had ever heard anyone share a genuine love and respect for the Arab people within a Christian gathering. And as an Arab man himself, our speaker, Becca felt that he totally understood her. In the Arab culture, honoring others is very important. And so the speaker took a moment to have all the kids whose parents worked among Arab people to stand, and he called them forward, and he thanked them on behalf of himself and the other Coptic Christians for the work that their families had done in the entire Arab world. This was huge for her. He showed equal love and respect for the Jewish people, and he did speak a lot about his brothers and sisters in Christ on both sides. And but what he did not do is elevate any one people group above another. And for Becca, that was so profound and important for her to hear. Having these people that she dearly loved, respected, and even identified with, honored publicly in a Christian setting, was immensely powerful to her. So that's Becca's story, her ongoing story. Now I would like to tell you a bit about Sarah. Sarah has attended Black Forest Academy for 2 years. So she is the one girl in my small group who started in grade 10 and was there before the others. She actually lives with her family, so she's called what we call a home student, but she lives across the border in France. So it means that she has to commute about an hour to and from school every day. Now, for us living here, that is nothing. For our community in Condern, where most of us live in the city, we can walk to school. She lives in another country, and that's huge. So what it does is it does separate her a little bit more from the school life, just from the ease of participating. When her family first moved to France, Sarah was enrolled in a public French school, not knowing a word of French. This also happens to many of our kids whose families move overseas. And for the first time, they're just thrown into the public school system, wherever that may be, to sink or swim. Some sink and some swim. It's never easy for them. It's a challenging experience that they all face, and always a transition. It's always a transition. So some do thrive in the language. They meet new friends, and they can integrate. Others struggle to adapt to the new language, to the new culture, to meet new friends, to stay up academically. And this was Sarah's experience. She struggled. So as an added disadvantage, it wasn't easy for her to to make friends in the first place in her own language. So doing so in another language was especially difficult. When Sarah came to BFA, it was difficult for her her first year. She did well academically, however, was often regarded as a little bit odd and had a tough time getting close to anyone. She has a quick wit, and it is often misunderstood. And so what she quickly determined, even at BFA, in our safe place, which is very welcoming and friendly, she determined that it was better to stay quiet in class, hold her comments and her wit to herself. And so the real Sarah was not known by many. It was a big decision for Sarah to join a small group. That was a very intimate setting for her that she wasn't sure she would be prepared for or be able to integrate into. Having some social anxiety as well, this made it especially difficult. Not only that, but in order to figure out how to do the commute back and forth from France was a big challenge for her, so that she would be able to stay longer one day and attend small group that night. But she did agree to join the small group, and it did not take long before she told us that small group time was her favorite night of the week. And in fact, every week when we met, she never failed to tell us that she loved our small group. She wanted each one of us to know, the leaders and our fellow girls in the group. For Sarah, she had found a place where she belonged and where she was accepted as an equal voice and a deeply valued person. So those are just two stories of girls that I work with personally, that Adam has had interaction with in the classroom as well. These are two examples of the many students that we work with. Each one has their own story of who they are, of where they've come from, of their fears, their strengths, their weaknesses, and their own life experiences, which just make them who they are. We are just ordinary people at Black Forest Academy. All of us, whether students or staff, we have our own challenges, struggles, and joys. And to be honest, it is hard sometimes in the day-to-day living to see that thread of God's kindness and love in and among us. We are not immune to discouragement, stress, or loneliness. We definitely have our fair share of challenges. Our students on a regular basis feel the stress of their future looming largely. They feel loneliness and they miss their parents if they're dorm students. They struggle to find their place, like we all do. We have many staff who have faced significant health issues, especially this past year, and who struggle with stress of various kinds on an ongoing basis. We are not perfect, far from it. But in my opinion, our greatest challenge collectively is distraction. We can get so focused on our jobs, our daily tasks, our homework, upcoming tests, even the good things we get distracted by, that we can fail to keep our eyes set on God on a daily and moment-by-moment basis. I personally struggle with this on a daily basis. A part of God's character that draws me to him personally is his kindness. Romans 2 verse 4 says that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, true repentance. So the Amplified Version goes on to define repentance as challenging your inner self, your old way of thinking, and seeking his purpose in your life. But I also think of repentance as turning, something that catches your attention and causes you to pause and take notice, then causes you to change your course. But this is impossible to do unless we are absolutely convinced of God's utter goodness and kindness towards us. So if I only have fear of punishment, I will change my course, but it won't be the truest kind of change that God desires for me. Rather, a revelation of his kindness and love always turn me towards him and draw my attention and cause me to want to turn and change. So it has been my experience that he shows his kindness to me all the time in many different ways and through many different people. He has to do it all the time because I miss it so much. So thanks to God that he never stops revealing himself to us and showing his kindness to us. So I have shared with you the stories of Becca and Sarah, and hopefully through their stories you can see God's kindness and love. What is truly amazing to me is that these two are examples of his kindness to others. Because of their unique challenges, they have chosen to be intentional in how they interact with their peers so that the unacceptance that they have experienced in the past would not be someone else's experience. They have also unknowingly revealed God's kindness to me throughout this past year. We have the amazing opportunity to live and engage with these students for the short time that they call Black Forest Academy their home. You also each have unique stories of your own, of life circumstances, daily challenges, and joys that make you who you are. There is not a single occupation, a certain country of residence, or a certain life lived that is more important than another. We all have value in God's eyes, and he works among us equally. Jesus knows us each by name and is truly God with us, wherever we are and whatever we do. When I pause to consider this, it's impossible to miss that unstoppable love of God that continues to pursue us relentlessly. As I said before, we miss it sometimes. We miss it a lot. But he never stops. He continues to draw us to him. So I hope that encourages you and causes you to look at your lives and see how God's kindness has drawn you and know how he continues to draw you in your circumstances. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak with you today, and we wish you God's blessing in the coming week and in the coming years, and we hope to be back in another 2 years. Our plan is to come back to Canada every 2 years, so that should be in 2 more years, and we would be delighted to see you again at that time. Thank you.